true spirituality, we are dealing with freedom from the bondage of sin. We have been talking about basic considerations. We want to move on to biblical unity and true spirituality. This is from Dr. Francis Schaeffer's book, True Spirituality. And I'm not quite sure what problem he was dealing with here, but what he said was pretty good, so I'm sharing this with you. I think that the concept here that we're going to be getting into is Christians thinking that they have to live two contradictory parts. One is that they say they believe the Bible and they believe in the supernatural. The other is they live in the real world. And they don't let them come together. They don't interpret the real world on the basis of God's revealed word. I think that's where he's going with this, because of the concept of true spirituality, having a real Christian life. So, biblical unity and true spirituality. First of all, the supernatural universe. That's what we want to look at. The difficulty, we see the world's view of the universe. The world's culture is overwhelmingly naturalistic. We see an almost complete commitment to the concept of uniformity of natural causes. This is why evolution is assumed to be the truth. Just watched a cartoon. All the shows that we like to watch are have gone off. So it was called The Good Dinosaur, and a Disney movie. And in this, the great asteroid that killed all the dinosaurs missed the Earth. The dinosaurs are eating, and they look up, goes by. Millions of years later, then it's the dinosaurs who can talk and farm. And mankind is basically a dog creature that goes around and has a great sense of smell and basically barks and stuff like that. And the little weakling dinosaur, third born, scared of everything, he gets swept off in a flood and has to find his way back, and in doing so, the very little creature that he was out to kill, because it was coming in and raiding their corn, ends up bringing him food and sort of adopting him, and they become good friends. So anyway, difficult to watch because it's just a variation on the evolutionary theme. And If it weren't for that asteroid, we'd all be barking and walking on all fours. So the world's view of the universe, naturalistic, they believe uniform natural causes in a closed system answer everything. So if we're not careful to be Bible-oriented Christians, this naturalism creeps in on us. And we start accepting this as part of our way of thinking. Christians lose the sense of reality in their Christian lives as this happens. When people say, my Christianity isn't real to me, it means that something else has replaced that sense of reality. While we say we believe one thing, we allow the spirit of naturalism to creep into our thinking, even though it's unrecognized. Christian reality is lost because, can I say it this way, the ceiling is down too close upon our heads. Solomon said, under the sun, these things are true, and under the sun it limits us in recognizing that this is really God's universe that he made. Ecclesiastes 1:14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. Put a brass sheet there at the top of our atmosphere, and can't reach heaven, can't see God. Behold, all is vanity, vexation of spirit. When all you have is what we have here, it's all emptiness and vexation, irritation of spirit. Ecclesiastes 2:17, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And a lot of people recognize that. Life doesn't make any sense. I get up, go to work, go home, rest, get up, go to work. So that I can pay the bills, so that I can rest and get up and go to work and come home and rest and wake up and go to work. Nothing means anything. So that's the world's view of the universe. Secondly, the Christian's view of the universe. Let's divide this into two parts. The Christian concept, true spirituality, must be related to the Bible's view of the universe. The universe is not what our generation demands it to be and proclaims it loudly to be. When we thank God for difficult times, you think about this, when we thank God for difficult times, this has no meaning. It is just religious spouting, unless we live in a universe ruled by a personal God who actually exists. See, if that's not real, then these are just religious spoutings. Thank God for difficult times. You know, smile anyway. The unsaved world is oriented toward things and self. That's it. There's the cross that they worship, you see. The Christian is free to see that God made the universe. Now, recognize that he made everything to interact so that it all works his way. In the strangest way, what these liberals and the New Age people talk about, becoming one with the universe, actually, we have the opportunity to do that. We know the one who made it. We understand the heart of the one who put it all together. We become more a part of this universe when we become godlike. He made everything interact so that it all works his way. So believing in a supernatural universe does not mean that we expect angels around every corner. It does mean that we expect God's way to work and man's false way to fail. We get into the naturalistic thinking, and the person says, well, I'm as good a Christian as anybody, but, you know, you still got to make a buck. You still got to do whatever you have to do to make a living. You know, if I have to lie on my taxes, if I have to cheat a little bit, that's the way you get things done. And they've separated Christian life from the naturalistic world. Such belief in the supernatural and God actually involved is essential to Christian thought. In fact, there's no real meaning to Christ's redemptive death that we were singing about, unless we believe in a world ruled by more than nature. The true Christian life is a religious way of looking at the natural world. Replace religious with Christian, a Christian way of looking. Christianity is looking at the world as God made it, and that is a supernatural world. Living as the branch attached to Jesus the vine, living as a fruitful bride with Jesus the bridegroom, this becomes not a mystical formula. This is not just our ecstatic dream, but an understandable point of view. The Bible insists that we live in a reality in a supernatural universe. And if we fail to grasp this, the great reality of living in Christ just falls to the floor. All Christianity becomes merely a psychological tool in the naturalistic universe. This is what we find in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Religion is a sociological tool to manipulate the masses. So it's tolerated, even though it's known to be nonsense, it's tolerated because the masses feel an obligation because of it. In fact, Julian Huxley said that religion has a place at this point in our evolutionary development because as man is now, he needs it. We haven't evolved greatly enough to jettison all of religion. That was his opinion back in the 1800s. All the reality of Christianity rests upon the reality of the existence of a personal God, the reality of a supernatural view of the total universe. So that's the Christian concept. Let's notice the Christian practice. The Bible-believing Christian must live in practice in this supernatural world. Here's the fact. I am not a Bible-believing Christian in the fullest sense simply by believing correct doctrines, but by living in the practice of this supernatural world. It's one thing to have been saved and then live your life naturalistically. It's another thing entirely to recognize that our life, the very concept of our life, has to be different now that we recognize the truth of the Bible. So the Bible tells us there are two parts to reality, the natural world that we see and the invisible supernatural part. And for this discussion, let us use the word supernatural in its strictest meaning, above the natural. See? Above and beyond. Supernatural is not more unusual than what we call natural. It's just beyond our limited senses. We are not living in the real world until we live in both parts, the natural and the supernatural. The one we see with our eyes, the other we see only by faith. Paul explains this concept when he's describing the natural world's greatest fear, death. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 6 through 8, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, alive as we know it, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." You see, walking by faith in this supernatural world. We believe that while we're here, we're missing something. To be able to be with God. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is why the Christian can kind of get excited when the doctor says, well, you've got so many months to live. That means then I get to escape this. I get to go to be with him. So he says, we were willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. The natural man doesn't get this, you see, because to him, this life is all there is. So to live as a Christian, we must walk in both parts of the true universe. And from the world's naturalistic position, the Christian lives in a fantasy land. But from the Christian position, modern man lives in a naive and ignorant way of life. Imagine this. I read a short story about this, and then I saw it played out on a TV action. A Christian is like a seeing man living in the land of the blind. Everything was made for blind people. There was no such thing as understanding of seeing at all. And he was seeing. And somebody once said that in the land that's blind, the man with one eye is king. Well, in this case, he was suspected of weird belief. So when the seeing man speaks of things like a cloud or like colors that nobody else can see, they cannot even imagine it because it cannot be touched. Blue, what does that feel like? How does blue feel different from red? So the blind people shake their heads in amusement at such foolish talk. The seeing man shakes his head in pity that they are so isolated. So we see it is not enough simply to acknowledge that the universe has these two halves. We must live in both halves of reality. It's perfectly possible for you to be so surrounded by modern thinking that you live as though the supernatural were not here. That's a problem. Probably most of us do this to some extent, and part of your Christian growth is reading the Word of God, getting under conviction for where you've failed in this area, and then beginning to walk in the Spirit and not by sight. Let us awaken to the fact that we live in the supernatural now. This is not a mystical religious experience. This is not a philosophical sense, but an actual living practice. So the blind man will deny the existence of the supernatural portion of this world. What are we when we see the truth but choose to live as though the supernatural were not there? We are practical atheists. We live in practice like the atheist, as unbelievers who claim to believe in God. Paul found these on the island of Crete, writing to Titus, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." The King James margin explains reprobate, void of judgment. They choose without the value of God's morality. When we live in a supernatural world and acknowledge it as such, yet we live denying it, we're exercising unfaith. We're not walking by faith, it's unfaith. And I think the Bible really calls it little faith. Are we not like Peter walking on the water miraculously and then doubting? Matthew 14, 31. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith. In this case, it was faith for a little time, wasn't it? Wherefore didst thou doubt? What sense does that make, Peter? You were walking on the water. The unsaved world is oriented. I already said that. I didn't turn the page. O thou of little faith. There we go. We're like the disciples in the ship with Jesus during the storm. They feared for their lives. They're in the boat with the Messiah. He has a purpose in life. Oh, well, it didn't work because he drowned in the boat. You see. Matthew 8, 26. He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? You're living in the natural world, not rejoicing in the supernatural. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. This done, taken care of, no problem. We're like the naturalist worldling when we worry about this world's goods. Matthew 6:30, Jesus said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? When you live in the supernatural world, you don't fear these things because you know there's a God greater than this world that's taking care of you. So, think of it. We received the new birth by faith in God the Father, who sent his Son to die for us. Here's the newsflash. All of this is supernatural. Wherefore did you doubt? We let Christianity become merely a good philosophy. We're content with that. It makes our lives a little better. But that's all it is, you see. Christianity is, in fact, a very good philosophy. It's the best philosophy that ever existed. It's the only philosophy that is consistent in itself and gives answers for the real world. But it is not only a good philosophy. It's not a good psychological tool to help control the masses, you see. We imitate the blind around us. Now, perhaps we vacillate between the two positions. You see, it's absolutely true. Once I have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I am completely saved. Because what saved me was not my work, but Christ's completely finished work. But being saved does not mean I will automatically grow in Christ as I should. I was commiserating with Jeb about the fear that his mother had approaching death. I said, if God had given her another 5 years to sit with us at our church, things could have been different, I believe. but she didn't have that grounding. So just being saved doesn't mean you automatically grow in Christ. It is quite possible for someone to alternate from one position to the other. And a lot of times you'll find a Christian that comes to church, gets under conviction, repents of his worldly ways, and then is more oriented to walk by faith. Then he goes back out into the real world and says, wait a minute, what was I thinking? You know, and he's back to where he was. So this is the point that he's making concerning the difficulty of living in the supernatural universe. So we'll move on from there next time.